Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to get in your word, to gather in your word, to hear your word, to let your word go through us as we journey through life. May your book read us as we read it. May you pour your book into us as we pour ourselves into your book. God, make us fall in love with your word. Please make it be supernatural. We need something pure in our lives, God. We need something holy. We need something cleansing. We need you, and we know that now. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Do not turn there, but 1 Samuel chapter 6 is a funny story. The Israelites get defeated by the Philistines, and they take the Ark of the Covenant. If you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, I suggest you watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because there they make this replica, this duplicate of the Ark of the Covenant. And all the way back in the book of Genesis, when the power and authority, provision and prophecies of God were wanting to be made clear in a visual form, God had the Israelites build this box, affectionately known as an ark. Not the ark of Noah. No, not that narc. Not a narc either. There's a lot of people afraid of narcs. But it's a box. And on the top of it, it had a couple of angels, seraphim with their wings spread out. And inside this box was three amazing things that were incredible pictures. And one of them was a jar of manna. If you don't know what manna is in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, God fed the people of Israel while they were going through the desert with this coriander seed type of honey that seemed to come up out of the earth and fall from the sky. Later on, the Lord would call it angels' food. Men ate angels' food. And there was a jar of it in there. It's a great story about manna. Actually, one of the promises the Lord Jesus makes in the book of Revelation is that he will give us a jar of hidden manna. Hidden manna. And then also in that box was the Ten Commandments. The literally Ten Commandments written on stones and put in the ark. The other thing, if anybody remembers, was a staff. Whose? Aaron's rod. It was an almond rod. And it budded after it had been cut down for years. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, it budded. And it talked about the provision, each one of them representing another image of the Lord Jesus, the provision and the power and the coming to life again after death. It's amazing. Well, what would happen is the Israelites had this ark, and everywhere they went, they were blessed because they had this ark, this promise of God. And they took it into battle, and they were victorious. But as so often can happen in the course of success, that's a kind of a funny thing. I find, as a pastor, I find two types of people there are. People who run away from God after they've been blessed, and people who run to God when they're blessed. And quite conversely, some people fall away from God when things go crappy in their life, and then some people run to God when things go crappy in their life. It's a kind of a crazy dichotomy. And as a pastor, after a certain amount of years, you start to see this pattern in your brain. You don't say this to them. You go, oh, you're one of them. Things got good in your life, and you left. And you go, oh, you're one of them. Things went bad in your life, and you ran away from God. I see. Well, the Israelites, when things got good, they ran away from God. It's kind of a weird thing. It was Chet Lowe one time. He made this point, and I'll never forget the point. He said, Jews do better when they're under a persecution, and Christians do better when they're under grace. And I thought that was interesting. This is a great generalization, but anyway, they kind of forgot about the ark. They took it for granted, didn't take it out to battle, didn't show it due worship. When I say due worship, didn't show it due respect. Worship is a terrible word for that. And then the Philistines came, conquered the Israelites after they hadn't lost a battle in some odd many years, and they stole the Ark of the Covenant. They took the Ark and they put it in their temple, And the next day, the god Dagon, which was in their temple when they went there, was on the ground. He's like, what happened here? So they prop up their god in their temple. The next day they come back, and now his arms are broken off. He's kind of like he's been rolled around. And then they didn't get the message, so you know what happened? They started breaking out with boils and hemorrhoids, infested their towns with rats. It was horrible. Finally, they got the point, and they said, listen, you know what? We don't want this stupid thing anyway. So they gave it back to the Jews. But you know what they gave it back with? A peace offering. And this is hilarious. Again, read 1 Samuel 6 and 7 if you want to see it. They did. It's crazy. They returned it with golden boils, golden rats, and golden hemorrhoids. They like made things out of gold. Honey, don't get mad at me. It's in the Bible. They're like, yeah, you can have this back. And you know what? Here's some golden things God did to us. So they gave it back and they left it in the town. And the Israelites went there one day and they said, hey, let's bring it back into Jerusalem. So they take the thing and they put it on this big cart, and there's a horse leading it, and they're pulling it. And all of a sudden, one of the donkeys that was leading the procession, he stumbled. And this priest named Uzziah, he didn't want the thing to fall, so he reached out, and he steadied the ark. Lightning came down, fried the guy right then dead on the ground. And they go back and they tell David, they say, are you kidding me? And the Bible actually says something interesting. He says, David was afraid that day. So he are you asking me something, Joel? Did you want to say something? Oh, okay. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Okay, you can do that. No, I'm with you. It is a great story. David ascends to the throne, and they figure out what went wrong. And here's what went wrong. The Israelites had a very prescribed method for how to move the ark. As God has given us a very prescribed method on how to do church, and why churches are being so blessed that they're cursed and so cursed that they're blessed, follow that one. That's a pattern that you'll see. So too, people had forgotten how to move the ark. Now, what was happening is they're supposed to be priests. They were supposed to be wearing an ephod, which is a vest type of thing. They were supposed to put these poles through these loops, and they were supposed to carry it on their feet and march with the ark. And they took it for granted, and that's so important. The lesson here is so important because, as you've heard me say, you don't hear me call the Lord Jesus, Jesus. I don't wear a shirt that says Jesus is my homeboy. I don't. To me, I say his name with a whisper. He's the King of Kings, man. Dare I get too familiar with my sergeant, my drill sergeant, my general? Now, to some, it's like, no, but you don't understand. He's also my friend. Listen, I'm telling you what I do in my life. This is what I do in my life. I keep him on another level with me. I keep him on a plane. I don't want to get so familiar that I forget he's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. I don't want to, you know. Yeah, that's how I roll. And that's what they learned. Hey, it's just the ark. Just the ark? Why do you think Uzziah got smashed? He thought it was just the ark. Anyway, the reason I'm telling you this story is something happens here in 2 Samuel 16. I'm sorry, 6. I told you I confuse you more. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark on a new cart and brought it out the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanied the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark, and then David and the house of Israel played music before the Lord, all kinds of instruments of firwood and harps and stringed instruments and tambourines, sistrums and cymbals. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzziah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Now, if you continue on, verse 12, now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he has because of him, the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, you ready? Here's how they're supposed to do it. When those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, what wasn't prescribed was having every 6 paces to sacrifice an animal. You know what David did? Above and beyond. As Christians, it seems like I always find myself dancing on the line of sin. Well, I can't do that, but I can certainly do this. Well, it says thou shalt not, but I'm really not. I'm kind of am. And David gives a really good example there of like, you know what? It's okay for me to have a beer. I could smoke a joint. I could fill in the blank. I have freedom. I have grace. But why? I know what that stuff's cost me in the past. Why would I come anywhere near it? You know what? I think I'm going to walk 6 paces and sacrifice. Walk another 6 paces and sacrifice some more. Because for me, it's safe. And I don't want to screw my life up again. There's too many things at stake here. Amen to that? Interesting thing that happens here, though. Then David returned to bless his household in Michal. The daughter of Saul came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over all the people of the Lord and over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children till the day of her death. When I'm telling you, we've been going through this Psalms, and especially last week and this week, man, there's a prescribed method. Now, yeah, it's the Old Testament, but don't discount the goodness for your soul it is to release, man, who cares that you're lifting your hands up to God? Who cares that you're singing and you can't sing well? Who cares if you mess up the word? But he didn't type the words right. And like I started the verse before everybody else and everybody was, and then I felt stupid. Forget about it. Forget about it. Sing with all your might. Now listen, agreed. Church might not be the place to be singing with all your might, but I guarantee you, if you're not going to do a little bit here, you're not going to do a lot of it at home. And that worship at home, what we do here at church worship-wise, believe me, shouldn't be 50% of what you're doing at home. If this is the only place that you're worshiping, no wonder you feel unworthy. No wonder you feel dirty. No wonder you're so angry and lustful and prideful and all this other stuff. Because let me tell you what. It is really, really hard to be prideful before the Lord. Really hard. But if you're not getting before the Lord, then it's easy. Then it's easy. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Now, leaving there, and you'll see why we went there first, go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, The glory of God and in his goodness to Israel is the title over it. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. You ready? A song. Now, scholars agree based upon a few different things that I'm not going to get into now. We could ask later, or you can do your own research even better. The song that David was singing and dancing to when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Israel, when David was dancing with all his might, is this very psalm. And it is so beautiful when you hear the words of this psalm and you really see the, let's call it what it is, the gift and talent that David had, not just as a king, not just as a prophet, not just as a priest because he wore the linen ephod, but amazing worship leader and musician. Listen to this. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Now, before we read the chorus, so to speak, I want you to visualize this. I want you to see these tens of thousands of people. I want you to see it. Going down some road, think about some old dirt, I don't know what neighborhood you come, I don't know if you've ever gone out into the wood, the wilderness, the sticks, but imagine, not a highway, not 95, not the turnpike, but imagine just a road through the trees and through the woods. And thousands of people shouting back and forth. Maybe they got drums. Maybe they're just banging sticks together. And then there's the men. And here they are, taking six paces. With every six paces, another, shoot, they kill another animal. And immediately they start to cook it up and they're giving it to the people to eat. Barbecue, a mobile barbecue. Oh, man. And this is the song that they're singing. I want you to visualize some kind of melody. I want to walk with you every day of my life. You know, when me and my wife went to Brooklyn Tabernacle, we went a bunch of times in Brooklyn. There's something crazy about the worship there. I knew none of the worship songs prior, but they make the songs so simple and easy to follow, you pick them up like that, man. It's so cool because the worship at Brooklyn Tabernacle ain't like your popular modern day church. There ain't no stage that people stand on. Actually, quite the contrary, because the building they bought is an old theater, it has a pit, an orchestra pit. So you don't even know where's the music coming from. There's nobody out there like this. They don't got no smoke rising up. They ain't got blah, blah, none of that crap. You all know what I'm talking about when I say that. Sometimes they got the choir up on the stage, but they had everybody, and it's kind of, I see why they do. They have everybody dressed the same now. There's no visuals to distract you, you know what I'm saying? Just voices lifted to God. And the worship is so easy to pick up. I remember one of the songs, it's amazing, so amazing. I remember it. They tattoo your brain. That's worship because it's intimate. It's one-on-one. It's personal. Even though you worship as a group, it's personal. Listen to what David wrote. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah. Did you guys know that was God's name, Yah? The Jews pronounced it Yahweh. Then later on, they added some consonant to it, and it became Jehovah. But when I say Jehovah, some of you guys think, Jehovah Witness? Nope, completely different. So when you talk to a Jehovah Witness, and they start to tell you, oh, do you know Jehovah? Like, do you know Jehovah's not a real name? You do know that, right? That the name is Yahweh. But they can't even argue their own religion or whatever you want to call it. It's if I sound like I'm dismissing the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's because I really am. It's if you do any research, you'll find out it's quite foolish and ridiculous how they've changed their own faith and the doctrine of their faith ten times in the last 50 years to suit the growth of their own church, which they did not expect. But let's save that for another day. His name is Yah. His name is Yah. And now you'll find that A-H, an interesting combination in the Hebrew, pronounced in Hebrew. If you know when the breath of God breathes into you, it's supposed to change you. The picture for Old Testament, which should be New Testament, is there was a man named Abram. But when he found a love for God, God changed his name to Abraham. His wife's name was Sarai. When she found the love of God, her name was changed to Sarah. All through Scripture, you will see. That's why those names, my son's name is Josiah, Elisha. They all have the breath of God. And when you see that, that's the name of God. Josiah, as a name, literally means the Lord heals. And anytime you see that A-H in a name, that is another facet of God's personality. And that person is named Elisha. You know what I mean. I'm done here. Listen to this. A father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Testimony time. 1993. My band was going through New York City. We had just signed with a record company named Giant Records. We were going to be rock stars. We had just gotten our tour bus. We had just finished our third album. And we were going to be big. I was walking around New York City, looking up at the sky, saying, I've made it. I made it. And 2 days later, we got the phone call. Giant Records had just signed ZZ Top, and they bought out their entire library. All funds on all new signings are cut. You no longer have a record contract. And it was years later that I came home and I started reading the Bible, gotten saved, gotten married to my beautiful wife, who at the time was my girlfriend. And I read this verse, which would become my life verse. A little different than you might expect, though. I want you to look at the latter part of verse 6. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious in a dry land. Now, because in the Bible there's no comma, here's what I read it as the first time. When God so moved in my heart and gave me my first Rhema word. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious in a dry land. I was bound. I was tied up. I was getting lost. My life was almost over. Me and my girlfriend had 2 children. I was touring around the country in a band. I was on my way to becoming what I perceived as a rock star. I was on my way to living it. And God reached out and he goes, no, 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 no. Other plans for you. I will take you out of the prosperity that you are experiencing. You need some more chastening. You need to be taken out of that. I was tied up. I was bound in my prosperity. God bless you, Jess. You see that? And when I read that the first time, I was like, oh my goodness, that's what happened to me. And I knew I had to start living for God. I knew my life then had a purpose. But here's how it's really translated. He brings out those who are bound, comma, into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee, they flee. And she who remains at home divides the spoil. Let me explain to you what that was. Back in the day, women weren't allowed to go into battle. You know why women weren't allowed to go into battle? Anybody? Number one, they're the weaker sex. But that's not the most important reason. What happens if we kill off the women? No babies. Men can't have babies, no matter what CNN tells you. Let the men go and die. Let's keep the women back. We need to make more of these things. You see this? But he says, so the women stayed home. And you know what their job was to do? Count the money. Count the booty. You want me to answer it for you? I'm just teasing. Happens to me all the time. Happened to somebody else last week. They felt terrible too. I'm just going to make her feel a little worse. Honey, I bring home the money, you count it. Baby, I bring home the money, you set up the house. Honey, I bring home the money, you buy the house. Honey, you bring home the money. You getting the picture here? Now, again, keep this in mind. This is a song. Seems a little wordy to me, but they did have a long journey. I mean, I wonder if they were writing it on the way. Hey, no, I got an idea. I got an idea like this. Right. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. How's that? Not catchy. Not catchy. But listen, though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. Anybody remember the name of the mountain that Lord desired to dwell in? Zion. Who said Zion? Gold star. And here, David's saying, he's looking around at all the mountains in Israel. And he goes, hey, don't be envious. He saw the puffs of smoke, and he saw the clouds, and he said, don't be envious. This is the mountain God decided to be on. I mean, that's somebody who's got some deep thought, right? The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Pastor Chuck did a teaching on finding your daily blessing. Do you know, according to this verse and many others, Pastor Chuck believed that God has a blessing for you every single day. Every day. You don't have to look for it. It's not a weekly, it's not a monthly, but every day you look for your blessing. And he taught about looking for your blessing in everything and everywhere. And he would confidently proclaim that every single day he was blessed. God blesses me every single day. We look for the favor of God. We look for the blessing of God. We look every single day. Daily, he loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God belong escapes from death. What a freaking verse. You know what our God belongs? Escapes from death. Not just death, but death. He doesn't just take us out of dying, but even if we die, he escapes us then. That's pretty cool. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. Now, ladies, you might not like those verses, but I love those verses. I love those verses. You know what? I have a lot of enemies. God's going to crush you. He's going to let dogs lick your blood. Okay? Deal with that. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. You see why some thought that this was the song that they sang? Bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. There is just speaking of all the different tribes of Israel. Thank you, Todd. Your God commanded your strength because, O God, what you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hand to God. Now, there's an amazing promise in Isaiah, and the exact verse escapes me. But there's a verse that talks about how Syria and Egypt will come down this road to worship God in the last days, that all the tribes will become one. It's not going to be, those are the Jews and those are the... No, all tribes, all nations, all tongues, everybody's going to come to God in the end. And that's another one of the predictions there. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides on the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. You know what I'm going to do? It's 9 o'clock. I'm looking at the clock. It's 9 o'clock. This next chapter is like, it's another half-hour study. We went long on a bunch of stuff, so I'm going to stop there. We'll pick this one up next week. But let me tell you what I want you to do. I want you to study Psalm 69, and I want to give you a little bit of a hint. If you have a pen, write these things down. Luke 4, Matthew 12, John 8, and then Matthew 27, Mark 15, and John 19. And... Huh? Yes, absolutely. From the beginning. It's Psalm 69, which you're going to see how it coincides with Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 12, John chapter 8, and then latter in the chapter of the book of Psalms, Matthew 27, Mark 15, John 19. Now, here's why, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to give you the introduction as a teaser to get you to study it. This chapter is not a messianic psalm per se, but it is a prophetic psalm in this manner. It speaks of the Lord's childhood. Some people say, we don't know what happened from the time he was 12 to his ministry start. And this psalm gives a little glimpse into it. And here's some of the glimpses. He was made fun of in the town because he was a bastard. The drunkards in the town would sing songs about his prostitute mother. His brothers hated him. His own brothers tried to kill him. His family deserted him. All because his love for God wouldn't wane, and he wouldn't turn away from God. How many of you here grew up with a perfect sibling? My older brother, God rest his soul, everybody knew my parents favored him. I had an older brother who died as a baby. So then when my brother came along, oh my goodness, he could do nothing wrong. I hated him for years because of it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Read the stuff I sent you. Next week, we're going to study it, look at it together. It's fascinating. And you're going to see the correlation. Some of you guys are like, wait, his brothers tried to kill him? Read those references. You'll see what I'm talking about, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the word made flesh. We thank you, God, that you've given us instruction. We thank you you've given a reason to worship, reason to praise. We love you, God. You are truly the King of kings and Lord of lords. And you are worthy. If there's anything worthy to sing songs to, God, it's not the devil. It's not my money. It's not even my truck. It's you, God. You're worthy to sing songs to, God. Thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayers and giving us your word tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that amazing time of worship. Thank you, God, for the breath of life and the escapes from death. We pray in the name of Yah's Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.